Welcome back to this week's Whitetail Watch podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about horizontal rubs with Ted Miller from down here in southern Iowa. Ted has been a longtime mature buck hunter in this area and has had tons of success over the years. And one of his methods is creating these artificial signposts, these horizontal rubs, and they've worked tremendously well for him. Ted's got gobs and gobs of awesome trail camera photos and videos over these things, and has stands set up around him, kills all kinds of mature bucks, and sees lots of mature bucks over him. So that's what today's conversation is going to revolve around. It's going to be about natural signposts, like big heavy rubs, scrapes in certain locations, and then how to create these horizontal rubs and use them to your advantage. So let's go ahead and give Ted Miller a call.
Hello.
Hey, Ted, how's it going? This is Aaron.
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. What are we up to today in your part of the country?
Oh, building the driveway to the house, I guess.
I see. That sounds fun on a hot day like today.
Yeah, it was getting a little warm out there, so I kind of needed to break, I guess. So.
Sure. Well, I was just talking to the listeners about some of your videos and watching you over the years, and I think on today's conversation we want to really focus on these horizontal rubs that you make. And I'd say the first question that I've got for you is how big is your property that you're traditionally hunting, and how many of these horizontal rub setups do you have on it?
Well, the main farm I hunt, I think it's like 800 acres altogether. It's probably, you know, half crop and half, you know, deer habitat or whatever, and I've probably got over half a dozen set up on that property.
I see. Is this a farm that you've been hunting for a long time?
Yeah, it's basically hunted it all my life or whatever. I don't own the farm. A good friend of mine owns it, and pretty much gives me the run of the place, I guess. So pretty fortunate.
Sure.
In that respect, I guess. But,
I see. What gave you the idea to try these horizontal rubs? How long have you been using them? I've watched a bunch of your videos from the last few years and seen you hunting over them, but what gave you the idea?
Well, really, I got the idea about videoing the elk in Yellowstone National Park there. Oh, it's probably been 10 years ago now, I suppose, and just from observing the elk doing basically rubbing, you know, on like down trees, or, you know, I'd followed a couple of individual elk, and they'd always, the same in the afternoon, they'd always walk to this same tree and rub on it, and it just happened to be a freshly blown down tree that was just laying horizontal or whatever, and, you know, just something about it that they liked. And, you know, after the first, you know, couple of elk I saw rub on that, like, you know, kind of got watching, and there was two or three other similar trees around there that, you know, the elk would just gravitate to. They weren't, you know, they weren't pressured or anything. Basically, I was the only one there videoing them. That's how I got the original idea, just watching them for a couple of years doing that and videoing them. And then, I don't know, I just got to thinking maybe a buck would do the same thing or whatever. So that's how, you know, the idea started or whatever. But,
I see. Kind of walk me through how you create one of these horizontal rubs. I'll add some links into your videos so people can watch them and actually see how you do it. But explain to us what you do to create one of these spots.
Well, really, all it is just, I just set two posts in the ground, you know, like fence post sized posts, and most generally I'll cut a, a pretty good sized sapling or some natural tree and just put them about 6 foot apart. And, also, ideally, if there's live trees, especially for the end post, to use a live tree for that. That way the bucks can't get their antlers under the limb. And, a lot of times I've had them pull the post right out of the ground or whatever. So, if there's a live little sapling in the right spot, I'll attach the horizontal limb to the live tree also. But really, I just set two posts and then cut me a Scotch pine, limb about the size of your wrist and just attach that across there horizontally about knee high or whatever, just about the height the buck would ideally walk up there and rub on it or whatever.
So, do you think they prefer a Scotch pine over, like a cedar or, another type of a tree?
Yeah, I think that's probably a big part of it. I mean, a lot of guys have set them up and tried to use them and not had a lot of luck, and most everybody's using cedar. I mean, a buck rubs on cedar around here quite a bit, but the Scotch pine is just, the bark is softer on it and real sappy or whatever. And so and it's got a real strong pine aroma. And I think that's what, initially attracts the buck to the rub is that, the pine aroma. And then the real sappy, soft bark rubs off there easily. With the sap and everything on there, just something about that I think is a little more attractive than, say, a cedar or basswood or willow or something like that or whatever.
I see. We actually had one of our pro staffers try this last year after watching a bunch of your videos. Luke Nissen did it, and he didn't even hunt over it. All he did was run cameras over it, kind of like you do, just to sort of observe the bucks in his area, and it was just fascinating to look through all those pictures that he got throughout the course of the year. The bucks in there they tore the heck out of that thing. And what really makes up a perfect location for one of these horizontal rubs? Like, how do you decide where to put the thing?
Well, really, I would set it up just like, probably the ideal place would be like in a staging area, where a buck would come up there and stage before he went to a food plot or something like that. But ideally, anywhere you'd expect to encounter a buck. I mean, I don't really, when I set one up, I'm not really trying to draw a buck off his travel pattern to that particular spot. I'm basically putting it, where he'll automatically just walk into it. And so anywhere where you'd automatically, set up for a buck anyway. And really what I'm doing with them is just something, basically to hold the buck's attention. And I do a lot of self-filming, and it's just hard to get the buck to stop and get the camera on him, get your bow drawn and everything without him just walking right out of the camera frame. So this, I basically started it just for a buck to, keep his attention focused on this while you do all your stuff in the tree, getting him on film and trying to get a shot at him. That's kind of the idea of them, I guess.
Sure. Now, do you think bucks prefer a horizontal rub like that over like a standard primary scrape, or is it kind of indifferent? I noticed that a lot of times you like to set them up in areas where there is a big scrape already.
Yeah, what I started doing over the last 2 or 3 years is to incorporate a licking branch and a scrape with the rub. I mean, it just gives all bucks are different. Some will walk up there and slick the rub and smell it, and then they'll just walk away, you know. They have no desire to rub on it, but about every buck likes to smell a licking branch, you know. And I've been hanging the licking branch off the end of the rub or whatever, so just gives a buck, you know, everything he needs to, you know, mark his territory or leave his scent or check for other scent, you know, just trying to give a buck everything he needs to hold his attention a little bit, I guess. So.
Do you ever use any kind of deer scents on them, or just create them and let the deer do the work?
No, I've never used deer scent on them. It just acts like the, you know, the initial pine scent on there, I think, is attractive to them. And then once a buck comes up there and, you know, it's got real sticky sap and stuff on there, as soon as he rubs his antlers and the forehead and glands and everything on there, well, his scent's there, and it obviously is going to stay there a while. And I just never saw the need to put scent on it, you know.
Sure.
And then with the, you know, with your hanging a licking branch there, that's kind of a visual attraction. A buck, you know, they see a licking branch or a vine or something hanging there, they just, you know, just can't resist the visual walk up there and check it out or whatever. So they don't really need scent on it initially to attract a buck. It's just kind of a visual reference to start.
I'm just guessing that the more bucks that use one of these, the better it gets. Would that be right?
Yeah. That probably depends on the location, too. I don't know how many bucks are going to walk by it. I've had everything from spikes and does and Boone and Crockett's use the same rub, you know. So
sure.
And they're all, it's interesting, they're all different personalities. That's why I like to run the trail cameras. You know, just with a regular picture, it's kind of hard to pick up on a, you know, you just get a picture of a buck. But with the video mode on the newer trail cameras, I mean, you can kind of assess maybe a little bit on how aggressive he is or where he would fit in the realm of things or whatever, I guess.
That brings up a good question that I have on down the list here. Do you notice that the dominant buck in your area or the most aggressive buck uses these signposts more often than the other deer?
Maybe a little, but a dominant buck's not going to necessarily be, most active, say. So
sure,
it's just hard to say that a more dominant buck uses it more often. I haven't really seen that. You know, it seems like the more mature bucks will use it, probably more apt to rub on it aggressively than the younger bucks. I mean, a lot of the younger bucks will walk up there and, you know, be intimidated by it. And, you know, I think they're smelling, you know, a more dominant buck, you know, on the rib. So they're, you know, not as likely to be aggressive with it or whatever, and, you know, maybe just be kind of timid. But definitely the more mature bucks seem to be to work it more aggressively, I'll say that or whatever.
When do they, I'm assuming that their activity level really peaks on these things towards the end of October, but kind of walk us through a fall on one of those. Like, when do they start using the signpost location, and then when do you typically hunt over them?
Well, I don't even put them up until like the 1st of October. Like, a lot of guys, you know, told me they put them up now, and, you know, I just think it's too early. That limb, you know, I think a lot of it is that the limb's got to be fresh. Well, if you go putting one up, say, in the 1st of September, from the latter part of October, that land's going to be all dried out and, you know, less attractive. So I wait until the 1st of October, basically that time frame. And that's not saying I won't have, you know, the posts set and everything already to put the land there, where all I got to do is just walk in there and hang the land out of there. You know, I don't have to worry about setting a two post and all that stuff. But so basically, I don't put them up until the 1st of October, and they'll get hit then, but it just gradually picks up until, you know, that last week of October, you know, when you start seeing the majority of rubs and scrapes and everything really kind of blowing up. That's when they get their most activity, and it'll hold their attention, you know, through the end of November. But, you know, as the bucks tend to get does, and you think they quit using them, but actually they just, you know, they're with a doe, or, you know, off in the next county chasing a doe somewhere. You know, they kind of get off their routine or whatever, I would say. But, you know, you never know when another buck that's looking for a doe or something just happens to walk by them, and they'll use them. But I'd say that, you know, the latter part of October, 1st of November, first week of November is when they get their most activity.
I see. So you're running trail cameras over them. Are you just waiting and checking those cameras until you get one of your hit list bucks or your old bucks showing up over the rub during daylight?
Yeah, that's ideal. Most of your activity seems like, you know, early October is going to be after dark or whatever. And it does depend on where you set them up. I mean, I have set them up, you know, right on a food plot or whatever, and, you know, the bucks are going to be out in that area, you know, after dark anyway, so you'll get a lot of nighttime video, you know, the bucks on the rub then. But, you know, if you set them back in cover staging area or something like that, you might get them just after dark, and then, you know, nothing's there all night while all your bucks are out there on your food plots and stuff. So, and then, like I say, as the buck activity kind of creeps more towards daylight activity, then, you know, you'll get them on there in the daytime, but they have to be where a buck's going to be in the daytime, and that's basically heavier cover, you know, near the bedding area, or where he's going to be looking for does or something like that. So I've kind of gravitated off the food plots with the rubs and set them back in heavier cover, and it seems like I get more daylight activity on them, I guess.
When you're back in there hunting over these rubs, are you ever worried about human scent in the area? Do the bucks ever get onto your game a little bit, or can you just continuously hunt those stands over and over again and see new bucks and old bucks on that site?
No, it's just like hunting any other spot. I mean, you still gotta be super careful about your scent and everything like that, and not over hunt them. I mean, they'll catch on to you real quick if you set up wrong where they wind you or whatever. I mean, it doesn't have that strong a draw. It's where they're going to walk right up there and rub it if they know a human's been around there very often, you know. So basically, sure, that aspect is, you know, you've got to use the wind, I guess, more than anything, and not over hunt them, I guess, too.
Now, you take a lot of pride in hunting these individual bucks as they get older, and I've watched you pass up some really big deer over these rubs, and that includes that jawbreaker buck from a few years ago. What age class are you targeting on your farm nowadays, and do you have any new big ones that you're going to be chasing this year?
Well, there's a couple that I'm pretty sure made it through last year there that are, you know, getting to that 5-6-year-old age class or whatever, and I don't know, I probably pass up too many bucks. I probably should have shot, but I'm 60-some years old. I mean, I've went through the gauntlet of chasing antlers and, you know, shot more than my share of big bucks. So, I'm not really, I don't put on any pressure on myself to, to think I have to shoot one. And, you know, I got a pretty good spot where if I pass a buck up, you know, there's a fairly decent chance that he'll make it, you know, another year. Not a 100% chance by no stretch, but, you know, that's why I pass up a lot of bucks, you know. And I most like the jawbreaker buck, you know, he got that year when I passed him up on video, I think he was four and a half years old then, and, you know, he's probably maybe 170 then, and he bumped up a little bit at 5.5, and then the year that he, this last year, he bumped up, another 30 inches, close to 200, and so he would have been 6.5 then, so.
Is he still alive? Yeah,
no, I ended up finding him dead, actually.
Oh, wow.
I had him on trail camera on the rubs there quite a bit there last fall, and then he just kind of disappeared, and I'd actually missed him there earlier. I had my chance at him, but kind of messed it up. But anyway, a couple of weeks after that, I just kind of went down in there to check a trail camera or something, and I had the dog with me, and he kind of come up missing, and I just saw where he come from, and I just kind of backtracked, and he'd smelled the buck, and he'd been dead a couple of weeks or whatever, but we got looking at him, and it looked like he'd had a tine stuck in the bottom of his jaw, and there was a little hole that was all festered up there, and I think it just kind of closed his throat, and that's what killed him or whatever, but he'd been fighting with another buck right there, evidently, and how that goes, I guess.
Yeah.
Fortunate to find him, I guess.
Yeah, that's how it goes, but man, that's an interesting story. That's a very interesting deer, too. What have you seen as far as mature buck tendencies when you're watching these things grow? I mean, it seems like you get almost as much enjoyment out of watching them get old and just getting them on your trail cameras and stuff as you do actually killing one. So somebody in your position, I'm sure you've witnessed lots of bucks grow to maturity, 6-7 years old. What do you notice as far as mature buck tendencies go, as they get older? What do they do on your property?
Well, I mean, really, most of them really don't grow as much as you'd think they would. You know, a lot of bucks, and we're kind of, I mean, you know, a lot of bucks are in that, 140, 150 class, and they never, especially the 8-pointers or whatever. I mean, you'll see a 148-pointer at 3.5, and 3 years later, he might be a 145 8-pointer,
Right.
So, them are the type of bucks a guy probably should be shooting. And then the ones with, seems like, the 10-pointers, that's got a couple of stickers or something, at 3.5, them are the ones that, develop into, your bigger antlered bucks on down the line. I just think they have more genetics to work with if they got that 10-point frame. It seems like they're more apt to throw some stickers and stuff like that. But really, it's kind of disappointing on how many bucks don't really, hit that 170 mark or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, you would think more of them would than what do, but, a lot of bucks never get bigger than 140, but, they're still trophies. You just probably should shoot more of them and let the 10-pointers that got the genetics, let them walk, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do or whatever, but, you know, it's just because I've shot my share of them and getting old and don't really have the desire to kill a lot of them anymore. So,
sure.
Kind of where I'm at of it.
Do they, as they get older, do they tend to stay on your farm more often or still roam off of it like they do in the younger years?
Well, I think, as you know, as a buck matures, his home range kind of shrinks, in my opinion. And the Jawbreaker buck, he was a pretty good example of that. I mean, the last couple of years of his life, they were at 4.5 and 5.5. I mean, he basically lived in probably 40 acres there of real thick brush, and you know, I don't think he ever left it for long, you know, because I could always pick him up on trail camera about any time I wanted to, but that might have just been him. But as general rule, I think the older a buck gets, his home range kind of shrinks, in my opinion. Now,
back to these horizontal rubs real quick. As those bucks are getting older, do you see them using those same rubs that you set up every year? Obviously, you're probably going in and putting a new fresh limb in there, but as they get older, do they continue to use that same one year in and year out?
Yeah, I saw that quite a bit, and I actually, in the Jawbreaker buck, he was kind of that way. I mean, I had two or three rubs that I'd set up, you know, like 3 or 4 years in a row, and he'd hit the same ones every year. I mean, within, you know, he'd hit them within a couple of days, you know, and basically be there, you know, all fall. So I know he was, you know, I kind of had him conditioned the rubs, and he means I never shot at him or spooked him much or whatever. You know, he had no fear. You know, you could, and I even kind of had him, you know, attuned to the trail camera. I mean, I can set the trail camera on one end of the rub, and I mean, it can be standing there looking at the buck like 3 or 4 feet away, and they wouldn't shy from it. But I, you know, a lot of bucks, they go up there and they see a trail camera or something, and then they'll shy away. But I think I just kind of conditioned, you know, especially the Jawbreaker buck to where he was used to a trail camera and didn't see it as a threat or whatever.
But, sure. That's interesting.
That's kind of what, I mean, I'm probably a little different than most people. I mean, I'm trying to, my idea of the trail camera is set up to try to get good video. You know, I'm kind of doing that at the expense of, you know, probably killing a buck or two, you know, that would spook from the trail camera. But I that's just something I have to live with, you know, spooking some of them off there with my trail camera position. But to get that really good video, I mean, you got to have the trail camera sitting right there where a buck can basically look over there and see it, you know.
Sure. It seems like, you've had a lot of bucks even in the same sit come up and visit those rubs. I mean, I was watching one video where you had, looked like there were several different real nice bucks. I mean, hard to say, for me to say how old they are, but they were all looking like pretty big bucks that come in and use that rub in one morning. Do you get a lot of, like, nomad bucks that you're not familiar with that come in and use those rubs? Maybe you just get a couple of videos of them or pictures, and then you don't see them again. Does that tend to happen a lot, or do you know most of the deer that are hitting these things?
Yeah, the farm I hunt, I probably, you know, I don't spend all my time hunting there, but a lot of it, and, you know, I pretty much know the bucks there, and there'll be occasional one that'll show up on the rub, and you look at that and think, oh, man, where'd he come from? And, you know, he'll just be there once, and then he's gone. You never see him again. You never hear anything about him or anything, you know. So I'm sure them are just like nomad bucks traveling through or whatever. So, but most of the bucks that I'm hunting, a ton of on that farm long enough to where I kind of know what's there, so.
What do you think the reason is for them using that rub so much? You think it's, you think a horizontal rub like that with that Scotch pine is just easier for them to leave scent on? Maybe does their scent concentrate more on that than a standard vertical rub?
Yeah, that's my opinion, and there's not a lot of really ideal rubbing trees in this part of the country. It's all basically hardwoods and brush and stuff, and there's occasional bucks like to rub on cedars a little bit and basswood and willows and stuff like that. Well, there's not just, a lot of them out there to rub on, so the Scotch pine is probably the most ideal tree that one would rub on anyway, and then you're just putting it in the ideal spot for him to rub on it, and I think it's the horizontal part just makes them a little easier to stand there. They can, if you watch them videos, they can just stand there and rub their antlers back and forth and their scent glands and everything, and then just stand there and smell it and nibble at the bark and stuff. I think it's just more convenient. So, if you stuck a vertical rub in the same place, you'd probably basically get the same results maybe, but I just think it's a little bit easier for them with the horizontal thing, kind of going back to the elk back there in Yellowstone. There was all kinds of vertical trees ideally scattered around there, but they would ignore them and walk right over to that one laying horizontal, so I'm just trying to give a buck, everything he wants and make it easier for him to stand there for a few minutes, I guess.
Yeah. The one that Luke was using last year, I think he had screwed into a couple of big trees, and he might have had it wired on there, and they still eventually, they rubbed the thing so much and so aggressively, some of those older bucks, that they knocked it to the ground. And then a few of them, the scent was still on that post. A few of them would even try to rub at it after it was laying on the ground.
Yeah, I've had the same thing happen to me or whatever. I've kind of progressed over the years to where I kind of know how to attach them, but I use it's a heavy gauge number 9 wire, which is like a fencing wire and real heavy duty, so that I won't say they won't break it because they have a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I'll attach that, and then I'll drive a steeple in the post or whatever to kind of hold the wire in place, and then I try to make it so the one end sticks out there from the end post a couple of feet, because they seem like they like to rub the end sticking out there more so than in between the posts. And then I attach it loosely so it moves up and down 6-8 inches. I think that, kind of gives them the feeling that they're destroying something, if they can move it around, and it just seems like that works better than trying to attach it so it's solid, and has no give to it or whatever. But just something I've kind of progressed to make that. And now, especially if your end post isn't a solid tree and it's just a post set in the ground, if you don't set that, 2 or 3 feet in the ground, a buck will get his rack under the end of that limb, and then when he raises up, it'll just pull the post right up out of the ground. And I've more than once I've walked there expecting, to see the rub and everything's laying on the ground or whatever. They tore it up. But yeah, they will. I've even had them rub it on the ground like that too. I suppose they can still smell the scent or something. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. What's the most mature bucks you've seen use one of these things in the course of a fall?
Oh, I don't know. But A lot of it depends on where they're set up. I mean, if there's more, I'm pretty fortunate where there's, mature bucks on this farm that I hunt or whatever. So, it's not uncommon to have, four, five, six different mature bucks work the same rub or whatever. But, that's not going to work if you don't have that age class of buck.
Sure.
Start with or whatever, and it, like I say, a lot of it is location. I mean, you just try to set them up where you think a buck's going to be anyway. I don't think they go, out of their way to, get up out of his bed and he's going to walk a quarter of a mile out of his way to go over there to work it. I don't think that happens. I just try to put them where they would. You walk them by them anyway, and give them something to do, I guess.
Do they ever come from downwind of it at all, or how do they usually behave when they're approaching it? Just walking in randomly from any direction, or from the direction you'd obviously expect them to come from?
I don't really pay a lot of attention to that. I just try to set up my tree stand, where I got the wind in my favor, and I bucks'll, I haven't seen them approach, only one direction. I mean, basically they'll come at it from wherever they happen to be, or whatever. But some bucks, like I say, they'll kind of scent check it, and the timid ones will, won't even work it, they'll just kind of walk, circle out around it, whether they're, they could be such a thing that they're shying from a little human scent or something too, but it just acts like, they're shying from a, a specific dominant buck scent on it or whatever.
I see.
That's
interesting.
All bucks are individuals. I mean, you can't really put any of them in a group, even the mature ones. Some of them are, even though that, they're there, they might work a couple of times after dark and you'll never see them again all season work the rub, although they're right there. So some of them, some of them are that way. It's just individual bucks, you kind of learn that a little bit when you run a trail camera on things. You can kind of, it's running 24/7 where, and then say I have six or eight of these set up, you get a lot more experience with it than just say you just set one up and set over it. You're probably not going to have a lot of luck, with just one of them. I mean, the more the better, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. All right, I got one final question for you here, Ted. You obviously have seen and encountered tons of mature bucks. What's your favorite time of year and your favorite strategy for trying to kill one of these things? Is it early season or late October or the rut or late season, or what's your preferred strategy for killing one?
Progress to the point where I think that last week of October is probably my favorite time, especially to hunt over one of these rubs or whatever, and that would kind of depend on the weather too. You get a nice little cold front come through that last week of October. I mean, them bucks just can't resist being on their feet before dark or whatever it seems like, and I would say that would be my absolute favorite time to be in the woods. Then I don't know, during the rut it just seems like everything's kind of out the window. The bucks are chasing does, and especially if you're hunting a Pacific buck, he's going to be, you might not see him for a week or 10 days because he's, off somewhere else with a doe or whatever. And second second best time would probably be that last 10 days of season, you know, from January 1st to the 10th, and pending real cold weather. You know, the bucks are stressed, and especially if you got a good food source, I mean, it, you know, that's the other time of the year that you can almost, especially if they haven't been, you know, got a lot of hunting pressure during shotgun season. I mean, I've probably seen more big bucks on a set pattern that last 10 days of the season than any other time, really. The big thing is just being out there. You know, you're not going to kill one if you're not sitting in a tree. And, you know, I think the reason I've been successful is probably because I hunt more than anybody else. You know, I just spend more time at it, I guess. But,
sure.
That's kind of my claim to fame when I should be doing something else.
That's the way we all are. If we love this stuff enough, we definitely are out in the woods when we've got other obligations in most situations. Mine is usually work.
I've spent many a day sitting in a tree thinking of all the things I should be doing. I'm still out there sitting in a tree. But,
yep, that's right, waiting on them. But, well, Ted, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate all the information. And I'll be following you along this season. Are you? I noticed you had some stuff up on Whitetail Slam recently. Is that the best place for the listeners to follow you?
Yeah, really, the White Knuckle Facebook page. You know, a lot of my footage is on there, and then we do like a weekly or every 2 weeks web show, and you know, some of my stuff will be on there. And then I think I'm also on the Dominant Bucks TV show, too.
I see.
But, although I never shot one. But
well,
it's kind of hard to get on the TV if you don't actually kill anything. But, you know, I pass a lot of them up, so I take a lot of grief from that, but I don't really care.
That's why I appreciate what you're doing, because the guy that goes and shoots the first one, he's done, and he's not sitting in the stand all year like you are. You get to sit out there and observe a lot more mature buck activity and probably learn more about the things than the guy that shoots the first nice one that walks by, even if he does get on TV and you don't.
Yeah, that's true. That, you know, over the years, I mean, you get following them bucks and, you know, you end up shooting him or killing him, and then there's a pretty big void in your life, you know.
Yeah.
Until you find another one, you know. I mean, it's just hard to, you know, as I've got older, it's just harder to kill him, I guess, is all there is to it, I guess. But, you know, it's not like I still wouldn't pull the trigger, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on with us, Ted. I'll be following you throughout the fall, and good luck this season, man. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Hope you guys have a real successful season also.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate it, Ted.
Yep, keep in touch.
Yep, we'll see you.
Bye.
Well, that was a great podcast with Ted Miller on signposts and horizontal rubs. It's very interesting. It's something that's new to me and new to a lot of you listeners, I'm sure. It's a tactic that's not used very often, but Ted uses it in many of his tree stands and has success. And you can watch his videos, like we said, the White Knuckle Productions guys put it up on their show, on their website. As Ted was saying in there, that he gave you a few other avenues to follow him throughout the fall. But it's a very interesting technique, and Luke Nissen, our pro staffer that used to work here with me at Midwest Whitetail, he used one last year and got tons of mature buck pictures over the thing. He had it in a small little food plot and didn't have a ton during daylight, but still, if you're trying to get inventory of bucks in your area, if you put this thing in conjunction with a scrape, maybe in between a couple of bedding areas, in a staging area like Ted was suggesting, I think that you're going to have a lot of luck inventorying your bucks over one of these locations and maybe even hunting over it. Sounds to me like it just sweetens the pot a little bit for some of your tree stands. A few weeks ago, we were talking with Jeff Sturgis about different methods to making a stand site better. And this horizontal rub technique may just be one of those. It's new, it's interesting, and Ted is having lots of success over them and observing tons of mature buck tendencies and movement in front of these things. So great little podcast with Ted. I learned a lot. I hope you all did too. And we'll see you next time for the next Whitetail Watch podcast right here on whitetailwatch.com.